Lecture.
حجت الاسلام اسامه العطار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق اجمعين باعث الانبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا شهيد كربلاء رزقنا الله في الدنيا زيارتكم وشفاعتكم في الدنيا والآخرة أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حتى إذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور قل نحمل فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا ما سبق عليه القول ومن آمن وما آمن معه إلا قليل صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
The past few nights, my brothers and sisters, we have been discussing at the topic of truth versus falsehood. Imam al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, in his revolution, he really stood for this essence, the essence of truth, haqq, against falsehood. During his time, there were many fabrications of truths. Bani Umayyah, especially with its founder, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, worked really hard to alter the truths, fabricate hadiths. For example, Muawiyah pays one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi by the name of Samara ibn Jundub. Samara ibn Jundub is actually a hypocrite. Muawiyah pays him 400,000 dirham, 400,000 silver coins for one request, to go on the pulpit and to say the ayah that was revealed about Imam Ali alayhi salam when he slept on the Prophet's bed on the night of his migration from Mecca to Medina, that ayah which Allah revealed in Surah Al-Baqarah, which says, and among people is he who sells himself seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, sacrifices himself for the pleasure of Allah. Imam Ali could have been killed that night, salamullahi alayhi. But he sacrificed, and that's why all Muslims agree that the first person to sacrifice his life, or at least to expose his life to danger, to protect anyone else in Islam, was Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. When he slept in the Prophet's bed on that night of his migration. Allah revealed this ayah, among people is he who sacrifices his life seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ayah, Muawiyah paid Samara ibn Jundub 400,000 dirham to go on the pulpit and say this ayah was revealed about Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, the killer of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now imagine, people have not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This is in Sham. People had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, have not heard Rasulullah. And all of a sudden they say there is someone who met Rasulullah, Samara ibn Jundub. He's a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He is a very well-known, prominent individual. This is like what we can call today, you know, one of those academics who are very well respected in his field. Because of his name, he comes from a prestigious institution and so on and so forth. This guy comes from the prestige of seeing Rasulullah, having met. So people are like, oh gosh, you know, he probably has a lot of knowledge. He knows what he's talking about. And he sits on the member, and that's what he tells people, that you know what? This ayah which was revealed in the Quran is about Abdurrahman ibn Muljam, the killer of Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi alayhi. Now, you don't find some genius sitting there who gets up and says, but wait a minute. The Quran was revealed by that time. When Abdurrahman killed Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Quran had finished its revelation. How could this ayah be revealed about something that's going to happen like, you know, 30 years after the death of Rasulullah? You know, does this make any sense? Is this possible? But people just don't question it because, again, they're looking at that foam layer, you know, the foam on the surface. Khalas, this person met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. That's it. It means everything he says is absolute truth. That's it. Done. Just like today, we see some name, for example, this person comes from Oxford, this person comes from Cambridge, this person comes from Harvard, this person, etc., etc. Khalas, whatever they say, it means it's the absolute truth. Plus, he is doctor so-and-so, professor so-and-so, she is so-and-so. Khalas, it's the absolute truth. That is not right. That is not true. We need to really start really thinking about what people say, things, and so on and so forth. So Bani Umayyah really tried to propagate all these falsehood, all this falsehood, fabricating hadith, changing the hadith, and so on and so forth, introducing things that never ever were said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, attacking and harming and trying to damage the credibility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Oh, the Prophet, one day he forgets. One day he comes to pray jama'ah and he forgot that he had done ghusl. So he leaves the jama'ah in the middle, goes, does his ghusl, and comes back. And his hair is, you know, dripping out of the water. He did not have time to even dry his hair. And he comes back to the masjid. Would this make any sense? I mean, would that even a respected alim do something like this? Comes to the salat, lead the salat, and he has not done ghusl. If we see a marji' al-taqlid, God forbid, hypothetically speaking, we just say hypothetically speaking, because it never happens. Our marji', may Allah bless them all. They're the continuation of the imams. But a marji' al-taqlid one day does this, would people really believe in him? Would people follow him? I mean, how could we accept something like this about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's impossible. But when we start saying things about like this about the Prophet, then it makes it sense. Then one day when you have an Umayyad caliph,
coming drunk to pray Salat al-Fajr, and instead of praying 2 rak'at, he prays 8 rak'at. And he turns back to the people, is like, is it enough or do you want me to pray more? Should I add some more? They're like, no, khalas, jazakallah khair, thank you, this is enough. 8 rak'at for Salat al-Fajr. You say, well, how is this possible? They say, well, the Prophet, you know, did this, so it's okay if, you know, the Khalifa does this, to give themselves excuses. So they came up with all this fabrication. That's why Imam al-Hussein had to rise. To rise, and one of his main objectives is to fight these. To fight these falsehood, fabrications. So he came up with the truth. And that's why our topic was truth versus falsehood. And over the past few nights, we've been discussing few issues here and there where people sometimes when they read about, talk about, hear about, they start really getting doubts. SubhanAllah, remember a few nights ago we spoke about evolution, we talked about evolution. Do you remember a few nights ago? Today, believe me, today I received an email from someone who lives somewhere, not in the UK or even in Europe, somewhere else. This person is not aware of my lectures during this series. But this person came to be known, to become aware of my degrees and so on and so forth. So, and she knows that, you know, I'm a sheikh. She sent me an email saying that she's a graduate student at some of the universities somewhere in the world. And she has now come across this theory of evolution. And there is, you know, this kind of beings that were there, you know, thousands of years ago, hundreds of thousands. And she tells me in the email that, you know, now it's creating doubt in my mind. I said, SubhanAllah, you know, this is something we just spoke about a few nights ago. But these are real cases. This is not the first time I get something like this, where people start getting doubts when they go to universities, get exposed to some theories. People start having doubts like, how do we respond to all this? And that's why it's important for us to understand that our faith, especially the madhab of Ahlul Bayti, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'een, is the madhab of haqq, truth, absolute truth. If you leave with a message over the nights, you know, you'd say, what did this sheikh talk about over these nights? Just go out with this message. That the madhab of Ahlul Bayti alayhim as-salam, brothers and sisters, from a person who's grown up in the West, from a person, walhamdulillah, I'm not saying this, wallah, just because, you know, I want to show off. Wal-iyadu billah, God knows. Those of you who know me, they know who I am. I don't try to show off. But from a person who's gone to universities, a person who's achieved a master's in education, a PhD in chemistry, I've taught at universities, I've been exposed to the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing, but some things at least. So from a person, from this person's perspective, I tell you from the bottom of my heart, the madhab of Ahlul Bayti alayhim wasalam is the absolute truth, the haqq, and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah tells us pray, fast, behave well, respect your parents, respect others, wear the hijab, for example, have the social hijab, get married at a young age. When all these laws are implemented, it really, truly guarantees our happiness in dunya and in akhirah. Now, if you ever come across something that does not make sense to you, like, for example, this individual who sent me this email about the issue which we already discussed. But when something comes across your mind and it doesn't make sense, just be certain that Islam and the madhab of Ahlul Bayti alayhim as-salam have an answer. Don't let this thing create a doubt in your mind or your heart. Be certain. Tell yourself that I know the madhab is haqq. The religion is haqq. The absolute truth. But I don't have an answer to this. Don't let this create a doubt in your mind, in your heart, and you start questioning your religion, your faith, and your identity, and so on and so forth. Don't let that happen. If you get an opportunity to ask somebody, Nurun ala Nur, they will clarify it for you. That's great. If you don't get that opportunity, that's fine. Khalas. Just deep inside, be assured this is the madhab of haqq. And the madhab of Ahlul Bayti alayhi salam is a madhab that is a logical madhab, a rational madhab. When it comes to usuluddin, the roots of our religion, such as tawheed, monotheism, ma'ad, the resurrection, nubuwwah, prophethood, imamah, the divine succession to prophethood, and adalah, divine justice, we can prove them all through logical reasoning, deductive reasoning, and rational explanation. It's a religion that makes sense. and we can prove it. The Prophet is Haqq, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are Haqq, the Quran is Haqq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute Haqq. So that is to be certain of.
Salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, 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 wa ali Muhammad.
Now, there is something important. This issue I've hinted towards several times. I did not say it so explicitly. Today's world is heading towards more lack of morality. Morality in today's world is being decreased and decreased and decreased to the point when one day it will become non-existent. There are theorists who are known as communication theorists. Who are communication theorists? These people study communication, modes of communication. They study this. For example, marketing. Marketing is a mode of communication. For example, media. Media is a mode of communication. Okay, so people study this. These people say the following. This research is documented. Communication theorists suggest the following: that continued exposure to a specific message makes people subconsciously accept that message as the reality. Did you get that? Can I repeat that again? Okay. Continued exposure to a specific message. So you're constantly bombarded with the same message. Continued exposure to a specific message makes people subconsciously accept that message as the truth, the reality. This is a reality. So those of you who are watching reality TVs and watching some of those shows of reality television, you open television, you're exposed with this message, whereas there's no morality, lack of morality anymore. I mean, there is one show in the United Kingdom which received really, really high rankings. And that show, it made its news in Canadian media. Canadian newspapers were talking about this show, which ended up, and people were gathering into social gatherings to watch the final episode of this show. Final episode. That show, they say, it has challenged the standards of lack of morality. In other words, it's gone really to the extreme there. You want no morality? This show has now taken it to a new level altogether. People watch this continuously. Now, because of this continuous exposure to this kind of information, the mind subconsciously says what? This is reality. This is normal behavior. We become desensitized to this kind of action and this kind of behavior. So you find boys, for example, going on social media, flexing their muscles and taking their selfie. To them, you know, it's normal, at least, you know, I'm just showing my muscles here. From the perspective of Sharia, by the way, some of our fuqaha say this kind of pictures or these kind of pictures are haram. Some of our fuqaha, our jurists. Why? Because they're provocative. They can provoke. So they're haram. Well, I'm a male, you know, it's okay. I'm a man. But it doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. That's why when the ayah talks about hijab in Surah An-Nur, Allah first talks about the men's hijab before the women's hijab. You have to have the social hijab. So you cannot just provoke, you know, show off yourself. For example, you're flexing your muscles on social media and so on. So some people, wal-iyadu billah, they go to certain places which are indecent and they take pictures and they promote them on social media.
Because to them, this is normal. That's fine. Because they've been so brainwashed by this. They've been desensitized by the continuous exposure to this kind of message. This is for both brothers and sisters, both of them. Both of them. We're all, you know, everybody's guilty here. Some people have what I call the social media schizophrenia. You see them at home, angels. Subhanallah. Angels. Amazing people. Salamun alaykum wa alaykum as-salam. How are you? Very well. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. That's how they are. Until he goes online. Or she goes online. From experts in education, they say most cases, this is statistics, most cases of cyberbullying occurs, do you know where? Most cases of cyberbullying occurs in bedrooms. Because people, how many of you carry this device before you sleep? Huh? Before you sleep, this is the last thing you say goodbye. Mom is gone, dad is gone, and now you have this guy in your hand, all alone. And you start typing things, writing things. That's why some experts in the field, they say parents should not allow children to carry these devices into their bedrooms. Because most of the cases of cyberbullying occurs in the bedrooms. People are by themselves. That's what I call the split personality disorder. You know, the schizophrenia. He's such a nice guy, an angel. And we come across, as educators, we come across some cases like this, where we have to sit down with the father and the mother and tell them that, you know what, your son or your daughter, are you aware? This is what they've written here online. This is what they've done. And you can see the shock on the parents' eyes, you know, on the parents. No way. My son, my daughter has done this? They can't believe it. Same thing. Take a look. Just look at it. Read it. See what they have. They get shocked. Shocked. Their jaw drops. Like, I can't believe this is my son is an angel. Yeah, angel when he is sitting down with you. Not when he is by himself. Or not when she's by herself. So this issue is very problematic. Where did that come from? Because we're living in a culture that says morality, fine, there is no moral limits anymore. There's no moral standards anymore. And we don't live on Mars. We live on Earth. We live in such culture. Our children, as you just saw, our youth are exposed to this. Even those of us who do not watch these reality televisions, you open the internet, you see you're exposed to this kind of information and media and advertisement. You drive, you're exposed to this on billboards and on buses. You go to universities, you're exposed to the same message. And the same, everywhere you turn, you're being exposed to the same message, the same message, the same message. Subconsciously, we become desensitized. Desensitized. 50 years ago, in this country and in North America, back in the early 1950s, the late 1940s, maybe 60 years ago, it was a big deal if someone would have had a relationship that was a haram relationship. It was a big deal. You know, people would not even show that, you know, a boy going out with a girl, for example, and so on and so forth. They would hide it. It was a big deal at the time. 50, 60 years ago, look at the fashion. Look at what men used to wear when they used to go to schools and universities. Did you see them from 60 years ago? They wear ties. Do you remember that? You see that? Have you seen pictures? Or maybe some people have graduated. The men, when they go to universities, they wear ties and suits. That's how they attend universities. This is 50, 60 years ago. Today, you have our boys, mashallah, going to universities in such fashion that when the time of salat comes and they go into ruku', if you're standing behind them, you got to close your eyes. That's the fashion today. We become desensitized to it. Female fashion, again, 60 years ago, you find long skirts. You see that on television, like, you know, on pictures sometimes. Long skirts, for example, long shirts. That's what was the fashion 50, 60 years ago. And now look at the fashion. Look what it is. As I mentioned a couple nights ago from some of the professors who themselves say the media is exploiting women with their fashion. We've now become desensitized to all of that. We find it normal. That's really terrible. Because we find this normal, now the boundaries are being pushed further. Now, unlawful relationships are taking a new dimension. And I don't want to get to it, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Where people now are posing again their pictures on social media with that kind of unlawful relationship, wal-iyadu billah. Making it become normal, making people become desensitized to this kind of. And 30 years from now, those of us who may be alive, 50 years from now, those of us who might be alive, will say, I remember this sheikh, you know, this guy who used to tell us that we become desensitized. Well, guess what? You know, 50 years ago, this kind of thing was like a wow. You know, this people would say like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. 50 years ago, now you say, look, this has become normal now. We become desensitized to it. It's become normal. It's widespread. And we have now a new problem. And so on and so forth. And so on and so forth. So what is the solution? What do we need to do here? Brothers and sisters, getting desensitized to these kind of problems is really a problem. We need some solution. What are some of the solution? Because the problem with this kind of desensitization, it leads to the lack of happiness. People become more distressed. People become more distressed. Why? Quran says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Anyone who diverts away from my remembrance, from my path, the path of Allah, the path of Ahlul Bayt, will live a life of suffocation. People won't be happy. On the contrary, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Simple. Those who believe and follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah, they will feel peace and happiness. يعني, if you want happiness, there is only one way. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. One, صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path of those whom you have blessed. You're blessed with everything, with happiness, with joy. Proper understanding of religion. These are the guides, these are the leaders. That path, that's the only path. Sirat al-mustaqim. What is that path? Mufassireen, some of them from both schools of thoughts, say this is the path of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahu salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So that's how we become really happy. Do you know what is the major problem in terms of health concerns in the world today? What is the major problem and detrimental to health? Feeling depressed. Mental health. Mental health is really the issue of today. According to the World Health Organization, in 2014, 800,000 people committed suicide. In 2014, you divide 800,000 by the number of minutes in the year, they say that equals one suicide per 40 seconds. Yani this lecture that we give here, we're sitting, multiply that by the numbers. How many people may have, on average, would have committed suicide? From various ages, they say from children, sometimes, they're committing suicide. Children, kids, all the way to old people, adults, older, seniors, the whole range. Why? They just give up on life. They give up on life. Khalas, life does, there's no hope anymore. That creates a problem. Mental health, even from the Western perspective, mental health is a big issue that the West has to deal with because it costs taxpayers billions of dollars a year. Billions of dollars are being spent on mental health. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, all mental health problems can be solved by, for example, following the path of Ahlul Bayt. Yes, there are severe cases where medical intervention is necessary. So please don't take me wrong here. And some people say the Sheikh is trying to avert medications. No, I'm not saying this. But I'm saying in moderate cases, moderation, those moderate cases of feeling depressed. You know, some days when we all feel down. Those individuals,
not the severe cases, because schizophrenia is a form of mental health. Bipolar is a form of mental health. It's a form of depression. But these are severe cases where some medical interventions may be necessary. But when you have someone just feeling down, and people, because they feel down, it builds up until they feel that خلاص, life is not important anymore, and وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, they consider suicide or they commit suicide. That's a big problem. We want our happiness, we want our joy, so we need to really fix the way we live. How? What do I do? Really, it's turning to religion, the path of Allah.
Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.